This is CliffCentral.com.
Dua Lipa. This song is playing all over the place in London. All right, it is 6 minutes to seven. CliffCentral.com. We're going to be looking after you this morning, keeping you company, making sure that your day gets off to the right start, and hopefully fling you in with all the important information so that you know what's going on in the world. We also have some info about Taylor Blinds and safety a little bit later on, something that's on everybody's mind almost every day, and it should be. So hang on for that. Oh, by the way, if you want a pair of our Cliff Central unlimited, unwired earphones, you can go along to takealot.com and check them out if you haven't done so already. They're probably, I know we had a couple of sales, but they're probably only a few left. So if you get in there quickly, they're a limited edition and there are still some available, but not a lot. So if you're going to get any, get them
now. The irony. Take a lot, not a lot.
Yes, I know. I know, stupid.
I see what you're doing there.
So lots of stuff. Can we just begin with Donald Trump on Twitter?
What did he say now?
Donald Trump is like the troll of all trolls, right? He's the king troll. He trolled his way all the way to the White House.
That you're right.
And whether you like him or not, that's something you've got to take into you know, cognizance. So he tweeted an episode of the Simpsons.
Oh.
From years ago. And he said, they just didn't get it, but they do now. And this is the episode that he tweeted. Just, I'm going to play the sound, and you can imagine it's him and Homer Simpson coming down on an escalator. Listen to this quickly. This is Donald tweeting about Donald.
I am officially running for President of the United States.
Could he actually win?
No freaking way!
Which Republican candidate has the best chance of winning the general election?
Donald Trump.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump.
Trump will not be president.
Trump will never be elected President of the United States.
You're not going to be president.
A
all
man
right?
who will never be President of the United States.
Donald Trump is not going to be President of the United States. Take it to the bank.
He will never be president.
Donald Trump is not going to become President of the United States. He's at plus 19. Do you think the tapes made a difference? Of course! They made all the difference!
This race is over.
Hillary Clinton has raised more than double Donald Trump, vastly outspending him.
The presidency at about 89% for Hillary Clinton.
Your analytical model has never been wrong.
Now
projects Hillary Clinton to win presidential election.
100% chance. You still think she has 100% chance of winning the election?
I do.
And what would Donald Trump have to do to turn things around?
Prayer and hope for a Festivus miracle.
This is CNN's coverage of election night in America, the fight for the presidency.
We don't care.
Okay, have Kentucky. Who cares?
Kentucky.
Don't care about Indiana.
Don't care.
Indiana with West Virginia, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Mississippi, South Carolina, Alabama.
So it's Donald
Kansas,
bragging about
and Wyoming with its vote.
How they were all wrong.
South Dakota, Texas,
up and down the middle of the country, all red.
Arkansas, Louisiana, the state of Montana, Missouri.
It was at 80% an hour ago for Clinton.
What is it now?
68%.
Okay, God damn it, I'm nervous.
Ohio.
Hold. Ohio, gone.
Idaho.
Okay, yeah, I don't see a fucking landslide here. I don't see it at all.
North Carolina.
God damn it, if we need Florida, are you shitting me?
Florida.
It is fucking panic time.
New Georgia.
Donald Trump, now the favorite to win the presidency.
Iowa.
New York Times now has it at 95% chance.
Utah.
Can still win, but in order to do so, she has to win Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
God damn a fuck.
Arizona.
Alaska.
Pennsylvania.
Michigan.
What a night. How did this...
Trump, he's just loving this. And he's going to England next week. He's actually going the end of this week, I think. He's going to be in London. And they're gearing up in a big way. So, I mean, he is the biggest troll in the world. But people like to troll him too. So they've got this blimp.
Yes.
Have you heard about this?
Yes.
You guys talk about it? Sadiq Khan, the mayor of London, has given the okay for a bunch of anti-Trump protesters to put a big Trump baby blimp up into the skies above London.
But why?
Is this for real? Is this not some sort of parody account?
No, it's a real thing.
Because
all right.
They showed us a real image of it. It's in a warehouse in London. It's ready to go.
The loophole was the fact that this blimp falls into peaceful protest somehow.
Yeah.
Because they aren't obstructing anything, they aren't
being the real work of art,
hateful in any way, so they're allowed to fly this out. And there's also some sort of protest that's scheduled for this Saturday as well against Trump, because there are some areas that they can't protest in. So case in point, I think he's staying at the ambassador's house while he's in the UK, and there's an anti-protest clause around the ambassador's house, so they can't exactly stand outside and chant there, or they can't block his car, or they can't stand at the airport and block him. So they'll do different protests around town, including the blimp.
Yeah, which will be flown in a very orderly manner between 9:30 and 11:30.
Yeah, but you know what? I think that you should be able to protest anyone you like. I mean, or anyone you don't like. I mean, we should be able to do that too. Preventing people from coming to a country is a separate thing. I don't like that. Mm. Like, we should be able to have the Dalai Lama here anytime we want, right? And if people like China don't like it, let them whip up some anti, you know, Dalai Lama sentiment wherever they can. But I don't like violence. So I agree that there shouldn't be any of that. And I think that if people are, you know, if you're civil about it, you should be allowed to say, hey, we're not big fans of Donald Trump. Simultaneously, you've got to realize that the guy like Donald Trump, the only person who's going to lose if you protest him and he doesn't, you know, he's got a very fragile ego, this guy. You can say a lot about him, but his ego is super paper thin. Yeah, it is a shame situation. He is, you know, the only loser is going to be you, because he'll get in the way of trade relations. That's mm-hmm. what he does. He's been that petty before. He'll do it again. So I don't know if it's a good idea. Just from the, I'm not saying you shouldn't be able to protest, but if you're going to go out of your way to make a mockery of Trump instead of just protesting him, and there is a difference, then he's going to take that out on you, and he's going to, you know, make trade relations difficult. He'll find certain industries to punish. He's that kind of guy. I don't think I'm being unkind to say that. We've seen examples of this before.
Yep.
Mm.
So, I don't know.
I think an ego fight is just always the worst, because you're not going to reason with each other
at all.
And now this is why he tweets a video like this, because, I mean, he has nothing to prove. He's already in the Oval Office, but this is just a another stab at a wound. Say, look at me.
Yeah, turn the knife.
I mean, why?
All right, let's look at some other stuff that's going on.
Well, if we are keeping it close to home with the Trumps, Ivanka and her husband actually are richer than we all thought.
Oh, I'll bet you a lot of that's happened since Daddy became president. No?
Well, part of the fact that they technically are part of politics, and they are public servants, so they have to declare what they have and what mm-hmm. counts as their wealth or their estate, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. And it's now just been recently revealed that they made at least $82 million outside of their income as servers of the White House. And this, by the way, is last year alone. They have investments in several different companies. Ivanka has the likes of her different fashion lines, but also they have these properties all over the world that people are now raising their eyebrows on, saying, how come you had that, and when did you receive this? But specifically, this is all coming to light because of the likes of the President Trump having different regulations when it comes to trade and the work that people do in China. But it turns out Ivanka actually manufactures most of her clothing, of her fashion line, in China, and how she has a bit of a loophole when it comes to that.
Oh, I'll bet she does. Yeah, nice. That's very convenient.
So that's how they make a casual $82 million in 1 year. That's outside of salary they receive as White House advisors.
I don't think you should ever be allowed to work for government and earn money on the outside. If you go into government, you must be prepared to earn a very basic salary.
Just keep you humble as well.
Yeah, just cover your costs, because you've decided to go into government.
And serve the people.
Yes.
Not yourself.
Yeah, right. You lose touch with the people when you aren't one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. Like, 82 million, what do you care about, like, waste disposal and rates and taxes and all that kind of crap?
Well, you're, I'm so far above that.
Because there are definitely dodgy things happening. So, also more on this report, the beginning of last year, so this was the beginning of 2017, Jared Kushner, who's Ivanka's husband, assets were worth $179 million, and at the end of the year, his assets were worth $735 million. How did that jump happen? Ivanka was worth 55.
It was an election.
Ivanka was worth $55.3 million at the beginning of the year, and at the end of the year, she was worth $75.6 million. So that just went up by a bit of like a $20 million in a year.
Well, I'm excited because our guest at 8 o'clock this morning, Mulet Zimbeki, who of course is an author and an academic, a political economist, a deputy chairperson of the South African Institute of Race. Of International Affairs. He's also the former president's younger brother, and he has written a book called Architects of Poverty, which we spoke about last time when he did publish it, among other really interesting titles. He's examined the history and development of the South African economy, and he is a fierce critic of some of the policies that government have put in place. So the very, very clever, very astute, very erudite Mulet Zimbeki will be joining us in a short
while. What's he like? He's fantastic. In a setting like this, like, can he relax?
Oh yeah, no, he's great.
Okay.
Yeah, he talks very openly and honestly. He's actually one of the better interviewees.
Okay.
Yeah, he's good. So speaking of former presidents and things associated with former presidents, I see Michael Hulley is admitting to everybody that he's been fired.
Ooh, is that because he wouldn't work for free?
Well, attorney Michael Hulley says former President Jacob Zuma has fired him. Yes, it is true. He terminated our mandate 2 or 3 weeks ago, Hulley told News 24 on Monday. When asked whether Zuma had given him any reasons, Hulley said the clients were not obligated to furnish them with reasons. Zuma is expected to appear in the KwaZulu-Natal High Court in Maritzburg on the 27th of July in connection with corruption and other charges. They parted ways after attorney Hulley had represented him for several years. He's also known as one of Zuma's closest confidants. The presidency previously said it would continue to pay Zuma's legal fees until the court decided otherwise. In March, NPA boss Sean Abrahams announced that the NPA would go ahead with the prosecution of Zuma on 16 charges, including corruption, money laundering, and racketeering. The tapes of the spy tapes, as they're called, a former NPA boss Mokotidi Mshe, who dropped the charges in 2009 based on the recordings of those spy tapes, which were presented to him by Zuma's legal team. They were made up of recordings of telephone conversations between the Scorpions boss Leonard McCarthy and former NPA boss Bulelani Ngoka, which Zuma's legal team claimed showed that there was political interference in the decision to charge him. And remember, those charges were withdrawn, but now he's facing 16 of them all over again. And now without his lawyer. So I don't know why it doesn't make sense to fire your lawyer just before you go to court, right?
It's got
to
be with money, because there was an open checkbook towards him. And I'm pretty sure Michael Hulley enjoyed that. And now it's like, well, actually, how about we do this and I'll pay you later?
Yeah, and he's not
sounds like
do
he's going to get like that.
Hell no.
What was that bank that paid for Nkandla? VBS or?
VBS
no?
Bank.
Was it?
Yeah.
He probably said, look, the VBS bank will pay you in 6 to 8 months.
And he was like, I want their money. Listen, can I ask you something about VBS bank? Because I haven't been obviously paying attention like I should to the current affairs that's been going on in the last week. This VBS, there have been horrible stories coming out about people who've lost all their money, yep. Right? The whole of last week, that's all people were talking about, because I saw a headline. And it seems that it's just like a no-win situation for people.
Well, wasn't Anthea yesterday saying that the Reserve Bank has now said that you must pay your people back up to 100,000? It was 50,000. Now you've got a guarantee you can give them at least 100,000.
For other banks?
Just paying back as customers.
Jeez.
So people are literally queuing up. They want to get their money out.
Wow.
That's where it's got to with them.
What if the money's really not there?
Yeah. Well, it's like in Greece those years ago.
Yeah.
And Zimbabwe, the money is genuinely not there. They've spent it.
And I see that SARS, while we're talking about money, SARS are starting to make their voice heard, and they're publishing lists of taxpayers convicted for failing to submit their outstanding tax returns. Have you seen this?
Hey. Yeah, they're asking people left, right, and center.
Yes.
Listen, these SARS guys are so greedy for your money right now because they've run out of cash. You know that they had a shortfall. People like Tom Moyane have been dragging their feet while they were in charge there and not going after the illicit cigarette money and other money. And it seems now they're publishing a name and shame list of South Africans, prominent South Africans, who have not filed their taxes. So here they have named 10 offenders who were fined and have criminal records now. Failing to submit tax returns is a criminal offense.
I didn't know that.
And former Bafana Bafana regular Teko Modise is among the 10 taxpayers convicted for failing to submit that tax return. How do you like that?
That's
taxpayers
crazy.
Fined between 2,000 and 20,000 and admission of guilt fines were handed down by courts. Modise was among those who have been named for failing to submit tax returns for his personal income. 35-year-old Modise's football career has been dogged by financial issues. And Modise's last appearance for Bafana was in 2012. To date, he's made 66 appearances for the national team, scoring 10 goals. The others on the list, do you want to hear them?
Yes, please.
Yes, I bet you do. You're not going to know any of these names, though.
Oh, damn.
You're not going to know
Poppy
one.
Poppy might know some names.
All right.
She knows people.
Okay, maybe Poppy, maybe some of your exes are on here. Mr. Please. Christopher John Fletcher.
Oh, I knew it.
Definitely an ex.
It's not familiar. Mr. Annapurani Samson Joseph.
Mm-mm.
Sounds like he's running a couple of aliases in there.
Mr. Fahad Ibrahim Limalia.
Mm-mm.
Mr. Kevin Trevor Benjamin Steele.
Why do they have so many names?
Yeah,
because they're asking them across the board. So you know how sometimes in entertainment people have stage names? So these are probably people we know, but these are their home names that their parents gave them.
Mr. Michael Sunny Boy Moloi.
Sunny Boy.
Mr. Niraj Ramral. Mr. Peter Azel Morrison. Mr. Sivalingam Govinda. Anybody know these guys?
Ooh.
This just sounds like a detention list in school.
Mr. Nope. Tinyane Duncan Libui, who represents Kwa Kwa Funeral Parlor, CC.
Yabo?
My
Jesus.
Man.
He sounds like he's the one who bought the round of drinks last Friday at Jamelli.
Yeah, that's right. How's that, huh?
I'll never forget when we were working at our previous radio station, Cooler got busted by SARS.
Oh, you're joking.
And it took about 3 years for her to pay them off. Yeah. So for me, this has always been like, I saw the terror in her face. And they literally were like, all your DJ money. You have not declared tax. Like it was a thing for her, and it took her about 3 years to pay them back fully because they were like, "We're gonna out you.
Oh,
we will out you."
My,
say the goodness. Word, and you'll be on the list.
That's incredible. I mean, would you be shamed if they suddenly put you on these lists?
Not really, no. Because there's so much other criminality going on in this country. Like, why?
Well, that's what I'm worried about. I don't know whether people care.
Yeah, true.
I mean, in South Africa, it's almost like, oh, well, you got away with some cash as well. Well done.
I think, though, if your name is on that list, you would care.
Oh, I
you know,
be.
For us,
I would be mortified.
Yeah, we aren't exactly going to research who Sunny Boy is.
Criminal record. You know that means you can't travel. It means
Jesus.
You can't. There's lots that you can't do. Yeah. So you think you can. Do not try to cheat SARS.
Mm-mm.
When I call for, like, a tax revolt. I mean, we all have to do it together so they can't arrest all of us. But if you're going to try this on your own, you are on your own.
Literally, I agree.
The two things you know for sure, death and taxes. One day you're going to die, and you're going to have to pay tax. Those are absolute
dead certs.
And it's such,
like you said, between 2,000 and 20,000, that's like Mickey Mouse money that you could have paid. Especially if you take a Modise, like, that's one match.
Mm-hmm. Yo. Pay your taxes.
What are people in Kwakwa going to think now, Sunny Boy?
Yeah.
Sunny Boy is taking dead people. He owns a funeral parlor. I don't think he cares about the tax.
Well, this morning we're not turning a blind eye to safety. You know, we've got a discussion that we started last week with Taylor Blinds, and for over 60 years, you can trust Taylor to tailor a custom-made solution for your needs and style. That's T-A-Y-L-O-R, Taylor Blinds, Taylor Blinds and Shutters. You can find out more on cliffcentral.com. We've been talking about people who steal money and who get away with it. We've been talking about people who get break into your car or your house. And this has happened to some of us. It's happened to some of us, and we'll talk about that in a minute or two in more close and uncomfortable ways than we would like. But with 60 years of experience in window and door solutions, Taylor Blinds and Shutters ticks every box from flawless textures, colors, and trusted materials, controlled lighting, and high-quality products. They keep it elegant and chic, the perfect way to give your space the mood and style it needs. Plus, they've got these amazing things called Shutter Guard aluminium security shutters, which are savvy, stylish, and they're a great safety solution for doors or windows, offering security without compromising the aesthetics of your home, commercial, or retail space. Have you seen them? They're those ones that are made of metal, right? Mm-hmm. They're aluminium. And you close them over your windows like shutters. You remember window shutters?
Yeah.
They look just as beautiful. You can have them in different colors and different textures. And they do this perfect job. They're way better than, you know, putting burglar bars on.
Yeah.
And you can open them and let the light in. And when you close them, it's as safe as houses.
And exactly, they're safe.
Yeah.
It's the functionality which makes it so amazingly pretty.
They're folding aluminium louvered shutters. They'll open up a room, control light, noise, and temperature with the added benefit of keeping you safe. The innovative patented system from Taylor provides a two-way locking system, making it virtually impenetrable. Dun-da-da-da. Well,
I'm busy Googling these blinds.
Yeah, you need to look them up. But didn't you have your car broken into a little while ago?
I did at a party. I was razzling one night, and my bag was actually stolen first.
Oh.
And some guy phoned me, and he said, "Poppy, we know who you are. Your bag was found in the boys' bathroom." And I was like, "What? I wasn't in the boys' bathroom."
Anyway. Let's just clear that up first and foremost.
That time.
Yeah, so I was just grateful to have my bag back, because then, like, my whole life was in my bag, my car keys, my house keys, my wallet. And the guy gave it to me, and I carried on partying. And then I needed to get home, and I needed my car keys. And when I searched into my bag, there were no car keys. And then I was like, oh, great. Then I decided to walk to my car, because then I realized that these guys had obviously been watching me the whole night. They took my bag. They took my car keys. My car must be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked to my car with one of the organizers of the party. And when we got there, there were two guys. It was the most bizarre thing. I felt like I was in a movie. My car was like one of two left in the parking lot. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning. And I could see people, and I was like, that's my car, that's my registration number, but there's two people inside. So I walk up to them with this guy, and they're chilling, they're busting music, they're in their element. I had to open the door, but now I'm opening and I'm like, do I know these guys?
Jesus.
Nope, don't know them. They're like, so then I lost it, because I was just like, I don't know you guys, what the hell are you doing in my car? And they just like walked out like they were high on something. They were just like, yeah.
So these are the two guys who stole your bag, obviously, as well.
Yes, yeah.
Jesus.
And then, yeah, when I was trying to get home now, they'd taken everything out of my boots, my house keys. So now I'm like, jeepers, more trauma. I have to call a locksmith. And the weird thing for me, and the one takeaway that I got from this experience, because I live alone, is how quickly the locksmith, with like two pieces of wire, opened my front door.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so traumatized. And he was like, this is what they do when they come break into your house. They literally just take two pieces of metal and they just turn them around and your door's open.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like... So how do we guard against this happening?
Yeah.
So that was that one night of trauma. So I think I need these blinds.
Jesus.
Especially because I live
alone. You need these blinds on your doors as well.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, but you can even, I mean, what's nice about these blinds is you can have them fit in with you. They can look beautiful as well. So you don't have to make your house look like Fort Knox.
You don't have to compromise on...
Because sometimes when you go over security, we're talking barbed wire, we're talking signs saying albino anacondas or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you see, I've seen weird stuff. Granted, Easter End. But you don't want to then say, like, because then it shows maybe you've got diamonds or maybe you've got tigers or whatever. It says something about you. Whereas with discretion, people might just, you know, leave you alone.
Yeah.
These are pretty.
Well, you've had your house broken into two, Sia.
Shucks. And now that I think about it, it really is just based on something so tiny. Yes, aesthetics are important, but safety is even more important. And the fact that Taylor Blinds are combining the two is a win-win. Because the apple doesn't fall really far from the tree. My mother is one who's all about always remodeling the house and making things beautiful around the house. And we were broken into just a couple of days after we had done this little renovation in our lounge. And we had...
Remember how traumatic this was for your family. You told really, us about this.
It was a lot because we had just changed up one of our doors and rather replaced them with sliding doors. And the robbers were actually, for lack of a better term, quite polite about how they went about ransacking our house. Because it seemed so simple when we saw the scene the morning after. Because the sliding door was just picked up ever so lightly and picked off to the side. And they'd come in and made the merry way around our lounge. Thank goodness they didn't come into our bedrooms. But this is how simple it is for people to just invade your space and to take advantage of things. And I was now thinking about the fact that we're in school holidays now, so this is when kids are probably away and parents have taken off work as well to go on holiday with their kids. Don't compromise on your safety. Make smarter decisions. This is the time to make safety a priority.
And if you haven't seen these shutters, go check them out. I'm actually quite impressed.
They're pretty, huh?
Yeah, very pretty.
No, they're gorgeous. So you can also get the standard finish, which is either white or bronze, but they can be powder-coated to complement your color scheme and decor. And an additional surcharge obviously applies for those custom-made colors, but it's all up to you. And each unit is tailorized with a Y to ensure a precision fit and perfect functionality. So no one can just undo it. You know, just unscrew something here and then it comes off. It's all properly done. So if you want more information, go to Taylor's Shutter Guard Aluminium Security Shutters as your first choice. The perfect way to enjoy some shut eye, because safety should always come first. Go to cliffcentral.com to listen to last week's discussion. And you can also live it up with Lerato. They are covering architecture and design with Taylor Blinds and Shutters this week. There's loads of good stuff going on there. That's Taylor Blinds, T-A-Y-L-O-R. Taylor Blinds and Shutters. Find out more at cliffcentral.com.
You know, a senior lecturer from UNISA actually just did a study recently around crime and specifically people who break into your homes.
Crime.
His name is Professor Rudolf Zinn. And he was looking at the statistics from 2016 and 2017. And he said, on average, 61.2 households in South Africa were robbed each day.
61.2 households robbed a day.
Mm-hmm.
Woo.
Looking at 2016 and 2017, you do not want to find yourself in that number. A total of 22,343 incidents were recorded during that period.
It's a lot of people who are taking other people's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? No respect. No respect at all.
Mm. So he's now written a book called Home Invasion, Robbers Disclose What You Should Know. And he actually also has great tips on the tiny things we can also do.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's useful to know. All right. A couple of other interesting stories. I thought you you might like this. There are some very, very interesting things going on. I mentioned that Hali is out. Well, Zuma's new lawyer, Mancha. This guy was once struck off the roll. He was also responsible for giving Danel to the Guptas, so basically he's ideal to represent the president. That's according to Gantia Hunter in the Daily Maverick. Shocking but not surprising, former President Jacob Zuma has appointed a new attorney, a man who was once labeled dishonest by a court of law and found to have acted in a deceitful manner. Mm. Lungisani Daniel Mancha is the new Michael Hulley. So there we go. There's something to look at. And there's other stuff that I want to tell you about, too. One of the most interesting stories I've picked up on in the last little while, a story I think this is quite charming. A woman, I mean, horrible things happen, right? But sometimes there's a little glimmer of hope. This woman and her husband were in their house. It got burnt down. There was a wiring thing or whatever. It got burnt down. This is in America. And they were sifting through the rubble, and they found her wedding ring.
Okay.
I actually kind of think that's so sweet.
Wedding ring.
After the fire?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
In all the ashes and everything, they found her wedding ring, and she and her husband did one of those renewals of their vows, and it's all ended very happily for them. Sure. They were insured, but they were really, really sad about losing the wedding ring. And lo and behold, what did they find in the fiery mess afterwards? The wedding ring.
What is the wedding ring doing off her finger, though?
Well, she might have gone to sleep that night and taken it off. People don't keep stuff on all the time, Sia.
Look, and I'm also not condoning the ways that diamonds are found and mined, but all I'm saying is if you're one of those people who now revised what a wedding band is to you, and you were probably donning some plasticky something or the other, you would have lost your wedding ring. But look, a good diamond.
Yeah. No, diamonds will survive a fire. Don't worry. It'll still be around. If you're wearing some piece of shit, it probably won't.
Do those 3D printed ones survive a fire?
Doubt it.
There we go. Probably diamonds are a girl's best friend and a fire's worst enemy.
Has to be the real deal.
That's a slogan.
Has to be the real deal.
Guys, please just send that out to my future husband one day.
Yeah, we tried to find Sia a husband, but we didn't find one.
I was, I didn't want to bring it up too hastily.
How?
I am pretty certain I planted the right seeds in the right places.
Where? How? Who?
So, Henley, for example.
Yeah, was there any prospective talent? Who's Henley?
Sia went to the Henley Royal Regatta. Were you operating while I wasn't looking?
Of course.
What happened?
My board is on full form.
I did leave you for about an hour, and you were he was gathering a court of people around him. You mean there was a potential husband there?
Yeah, we're just waiting. And what I actually love is, technically I was on work duty, so I was carrying my business cards, but the conversation started flowing
for a bit of contact.
And you know, an email signature, and send an invitation on LinkedIn. Tell me about what investments.
Tell us
you
more.
Were doing.
No, come on. Give us the lowdown. What happened? You meet someone rich and sexy?
You know, sexy is very relative. Rich, I don't know. As long as.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know his specific net
you
worth,
speak
but
to people,
I mean.
But you can't tell.
Here we are. Actually, it's funny you raise that note, because while we were on our way to Henley, Gareth was saying I should mind the people that I spoke to. You know, because there are certain telltale signs of who the true thoroughbred aristocrats are, or some people who are just faking it in society to come off as if they are rich and successful there.
Yeah, because you can't just hear an English accent and assume the best.
Because I was already bowled over by that until I discovered like a Cockney accent, and that turned me off. But Rob Gareth was telling me what the
it's
true...
It's coming home.
You see that?
oh my gosh.
Hey, love... Now you're cooking on classic gas. That wasn't appealing to me. But actually, what Gareth was saying was, you know, the worse their teeth are,
yes,
probably the richer they are.
What?
Yeah.
It used to be the case. I mean,
old money-wise, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, now you can get all kinds of dental treatments, and they do. But it used to be because bad teeth were, you know, usually the people who had the bad teeth were the ones who were eating the sweets. And sweets were something that were, you know, sugar was only discovered at a certain time. And so their teeth deteriorate. I mean, if you ever looked at the Queen Mother's teeth, Jesus, you'd have run a New York mile before you'd have come near her mouth.
Yeah. Just thinking what it would be like without the chin.
Yeah. Yeah. But obviously not so much anymore. But yes, there was a thing.
The teeth, the height.
Height.
Yeah, because they ate better generally. So, I mean, this contrasts with the sweets, but they had more different varieties of food. And you know, sort of the situation in medieval Europe was that most people existed on one kind of food.
Oh,
because most people didn't have a lot of money, and they would grow whatever they could. And usually it was one type of thing, so they didn't grow very tall. And the average height of average people was a lot shorter than it is now. But the average height of someone in the upper classes was slightly higher because they had more different kinds of varieties of food.
Cheapers.
Yeah.
I can't believe we have to work with so much history.
But I tried to get Sia to hear the accent so that he would know what he was dealing with. Because there's so many accents in England. Everybody goes... You know, an English accent. There's no such thing.
Jeez.
It's kind of like in South Africa, you've got a Durban version of English, you've got a Cape Town version of English, you've got a Joburg version of English, and they've got small differences, and you can sometimes hear if someone's from somewhere.
True. Then you've got a Four Ways version of
English.
Oh,
my God, dude.
Leave talking? My people alone. That's my word.
But you could tell what new money is, because yeah, they're very brash. They want to be the loudest in the crowd. They want to be noticed.
They drive Ferraris around London.
Mm. What?
Meanwhile, old money doesn't have to show off, because they're just, it's just another day in the park for them.
Yeah. That's interesting. I thought it was fascinating. And also, when you're in those situations where you get to observe these people in close quarters, you see the differences. It's so much more pronounced. Anyway, tell us what's on your mind this morning. You know you can get hold of us, 079-748-2090. That's the number you can get your messages through to us on. And if you want to call, 0861-555-189. I mentioned earlier that Mweletsi Mbeki is going to be joining us a short while. He, of course, political economist and author of the book Architects of Poverty, which is now a couple of years old already. But Mweletsi Mbeki, always one of the most interesting people to talk to, particularly about current affairs, what's going on in the ruling party, what's going on in opposition parties. I'm sure there are lots of people with questions for him as well. So if you have any of those, you know you can get hold of us. What else is going on? Anything you want to throw in?
Well, this is really a different take. We were talking about the Kasi Tops a little earlier, and yes, we can laugh about this, but prostitution and, or rather, let's use Poppy's term, sex work, does have its extremely dark and its extremely sad effects. Mm-hmm. And there's been a recent study that was done. Someone went out and spoke to 508 sex workers in and around the Johannesburg area. And the research that they found has really just stopped me in my tracks this morning. This report and research was conducted over 7 months in an effort to understand the challenges facing sex workers in South Africa. And this is what they found. So the study has shown that over 68% of sex workers suffered from depression. Nearly 40% suffered from PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder. 74% of sex workers had not finished school.
Wow.
87% had been pregnant and at 18 had lost a child. Two-thirds of sex workers went hungry regularly. Only 14% had never been a victim of violence. And over 50% were binge drinkers. So as much as we think, oh, these people, how dare they, and we, you know, judge them and pass some side-eye comments, you look at this and it's quite frightening. Most of these sex workers between 21 and 65 years old were supporting between 3 and 9 dependents. Jeez. And over half of the sex workers...
3 to 9 people they have to support with their sex work. That's hardcore, man.
Mm. And you think about someone who didn't just stumble into this because, oh, they moved to Johannesburg, moved to the big city, and now were falling on their behind. Mm-hmm. But rather because they don't have an education and they don't have a lot going on. Yes, I am vaguely assuming. But their only commodity is their body. And they go out and they work in this industry to support up to 9 dependents. That is not something easy at all. And then in conclusion, over half of the sex workers which were surveyed reportedly said they had paid a bribe to police, while many described being raped and beaten by the police. And over 60% said that they had been arrested, but most had never appeared
in court. These people have a hard enough life. Can we just make their jobs legal?
Mm.
Can we just legalize sex work and get on with it? The police get involved there and they don't need to. They've got other big important things to worry about. Let sex workers do their thing. They're not hurting anybody.
I agree.
I think it's horrendous that we allow them to be abused by police because the police know that they're doing something illegal and they can extort money from them or, you know, use them as their own personal kind of sex toy. I think it's horrendous. To do something about that. Eddie Murphy has gone all the way in on Bill Cosby. Do you want to hear?
Yes.
Yes, please. This has just happened recently. Listen to this guy.
How wonderful this is. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to
be at an awards show
with some of my heroes, Richard Pryor and George Carlin and Carl Reiner and Lily Tomlin. Who else got this? Bill. Oh, Bill has one of these. Did y'all make Bill give his back? No, because I know there was a big outcry from people. They was trying to get Bill to give his trophies back. You know you f***ed up when they want you to give your trophies back. You want to give his trophy back to him? He should do one show where he just come out and just talk crazy now. I would like to talk to some of the people who feel that I should give back my trophies. Just because you may have heard recently that I allegedly put the pill into people's chocolate. I wish somebody would come up to my house talking about give up the trophy because you put the pill into people's chocolate. You get... No! Because I'm not giving back... and who is Hannibal Buress? First of all, Hannibal is a caveman's name. And you don't want to just come on out and push over the apple cart to Hannibal. If I ever see or meet this Hannibal Buress person, I am going to try to kill this nigger. Just one show like this. Just do one like that. But like I said, I don't want to go too far on Bill.
I think you already done that, Eddie. He's a genius.
I don't make this about him. But this is a wonderful night, and thank you all so much. I love everybody here for coming out and making me feel so wonderful.
No, nice. I love Eddie Murphy. He's so brilliant.
Talent.
God, I love that guy. What a dude.
Lots of kids, but
he's
yes.
The best. Yeah, lots of kids. I have some with Mel B as well.
Mm. One. Yeah. Which he sort of denied in the beginning, then it became messy.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
Mm.
That dragged on for a long time.
Well, you don't want to admit you had a kid with Mel B.
Hey, what's wrong with Mel B?
I think then. She's way hotter and more accomplished now.
Mel B?
Yeah.
No.
What, you mean back in the Spice Girls days where she used to wear the leopard print
crazy
high heels?
Spice?
Yeah, she was a bit crazy. Super.
I think she oozes the most appeal. Sex appeal.
You reckon? No.
No, guys. Baby Spice, nah-uh. Sporty Spice was just way too lost in her ways. Posh Spice was way, she had a personality of a rice cake. Who was the other one? Ginger Spice. I mean, he's a ginger.
Maybe you didn't.
Crazy Spice has the best.
Maybe you have a different Mel B than I've got. Here's Mel B talking about a crib. Right, you listen to this. You tell me if you agree. All right. Mel B just chatting about her house that she's got on an episode of Cribs.
Oh, I'm Mel B. You bastard, yeah. And welcome to me crib. Come on. This ain't lift but transports me to me flat. Stinks of piss. Come on, come this way. Here's banister anyway. If you wanna be my lover. This is living room. Tonight, shit all. Front size that way. That's our Phoenix, that. Come here, you bastard! There's a brick on the table. You never know when you might need an house brick, eh? Rough round here. Come through me saloon doors. This is kitchen, where I like to do a bit of cooking. We've got a pan of corn here.
Ew.
I'll eat that up later on for our Phoenix. Stick it in a bottle, you know. Come on, come this way. Ooh, show you upstairs. Okay, here's banister. Don't get me grapes. Oh, here's bathroom. Oh. Where I wash me tits. There's no worse than a woman with mucky tits. Don't you think? dirty tits. Listen, we love your song.
No, so maybe that's why I have a bad idea of Mel B. Dirty tits.
Now she's hot these days.
Eddie Murphy was so into her. It's great.
I think she's always been hot, but Eddie has some good money.
Yeah, if you say so.
Look, we haven't heard anything from Eddie. He hasn't really come out with any new movies or projects.
Yeah.
So it's all of that Nutty Professor money.
Yeah. No, I think Eddie's done really well. I don't think he has to worry. I think he's got loads of cash tucked away. Remember, he had the most successful comedy career in the 80s and 90s. Guy was riding high, and then he did all those movies.
He's paid.
And it wasn't just the Nutty Professor movies. He did a bunch of them.
Coming to America.
Coming to America.
That was huge.
Yeah. So, I mean, who on earth is going to worry about Eddie Murphy's money situation? Even if he has 200 kids, he'll pay for all of them. That's okay.
Knock on wood. Can we please not get any sort of allegations against him?
No. Yeah, that's probably right. Found something really interesting. I thought maybe you'd want to see this, or hear this, rather. You know, Aboriginal Australians, nobody really pays much attention to them. And the Australians are very embarrassed because they treated these people extremely badly.
They did.
They actually hunted them. They hunted them like wild animals. And they asked a bunch, they put together a documentary, asked a bunch of Aboriginal Australians what it was like, because, you know, there's an oral history that's carried down, what it was like seeing the white man for the first time. And, I mean, if you can figure out the accent, then you're already three-quarters of the way there, because they do have a very different accent.
To the Australians
You'll hear it in a minute. But here's a woman describing seeing a white man for the first time. And she's telling the stories of her people, really. It is something else.
Stumpy Brown is a Wonkajunga woman who lives at Christmas Creek in the Kimberley. She was born in the desert a few hundred kilometres to the south.
I mean, this is the worst place. This is the worst place in Australia, by the way. They were forced to live in the most arid,
wilderness.
Horrible places. So this is Stumpy. That's her name. What a horrible name, first of all. But listen.
Oh, Stumpy.
Listen to what poor Stumpy has to say, all right?
Changes throughout her lifetime. But nothing so dramatic as when she saw a white man for the first time as a teenager.
I've been born long, I ride long, guilty long, my country, no white people. We are.
She's saying she was born in the Sandy Hills, there never used to be white people. Can you make out any of this?
Mm-mm.
I'll try to translate.
My mother been making me chili, but now dad and blanket and nothing.
So she's saying we used to be really cold, but then we had a fire to keep us warm. We didn't have a blanket.
No, underpants, nothing. For baby, nothing.
So they didn't have underpants or anything, no clothes. They were completely naked.
Be a naked. You are. Kina la jena man nothing. Koga la jibunga ma jena lo. Parnabandi, Mingajuru, Minijadu, and Jambindi.
They used to catch lizards and possums and goannas, and they would eat those. That was all they'd eat.
Jeez.
Yadwala jungala, bulikululunga yurukululu, o dargangabia.
She says they'd even crush the bones and eat those as well.
Daddy, mummy, on hunting.
The mom and dad would go hunting. Daddy, mummy would go hunting, right? We would hunt small lizards around the camp.
What a life.
They would find something called a horny devil, which is like a thorny little lizard. It's a nasty looking thing. And they would find those feasting on ants, and then they'd eat those.
Mm-hmm.
She would even save some of the lizards that they'd catch around the fire. I mean, around the camp. They'd save them for their mother and father.
Jeez.
What a way to live. And by the way, this is in living memory. This woman was alive when they recorded this in 2017.
Jeez.
It's an interesting
and
language,
she still
huh?
lived in those times.
Oh, yeah. No, she's old. She's an old lady now. So they used to... When she was little, they didn't have clothes. They didn't see white people at all. They lived in the wilderness.
Yeah.
First time she saw an aeroplane was down near the stock route.
Plane come down.
She says the plane came down, landed near us.
Yeah.
She thought the white people would kill her and her family. They were frightened of the white people.
You're frightened.
They hid in a wattle tree, sat under that tree looking out. She says, they would see the plane and then it would be gone and they'd all relax and they'd climb down out of the trees and, you know, they'd be able to carry on with their lives. Isn't this, this is amazing, man. This is like just the other day.
Jeez.
But how absolutely frightening it must have been.
Jesus. She says, my mom and dad were frightened as well.
Father and mother have been frightened too. Yungal chamkamara. Yuvai. Pala nyangala chungulori.
So they didn't go hunting or anything after they saw a plane like that because they were so frightened that the plane would come back and spot them.
Oh,
shame. Stuck by him and dig him now, alone, right over.
So she says her uncle used to be like a cattle herder, stockman.
All right. Yeah.
I like the way she goes, every couple of words.
Singing.
It's like she's singing a little bit. It's an interesting way it's amazing because she's like throwing in a lot of native language, and then she's throwing in some English words. You could just pick out a few English words along the way, right?
Yeah. And she was a teenager when all of this was happening.
Yeah. I'm just amazed that all of this was going down just, you know, 60, 70 years ago in Australia. And they've even got some footage in these clips. It's just, there's a different universe out there for some people. Mm. There's no way that woman is like buying cryptocurrency and using a mobile phone or any of that
stuff.
Just
the concept of cheese.
Yeah, exactly. And you think about how different. In a world where everything is moving so fast in some places, in other places it's hardly changed at all.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still living in this terrible part of Australia where there's nothing. She's kind of, you know, rummaging together little bits and pieces and scraping a life. Yeah, for herself. It's unbelievable, really.
Sure.
That just shows you what's going on this planet of ours.
Did you guys see that video of MT?
MT? He was very controversial just a little while ago. What's he been up to now?
He's back. He was performing, I think, in Limpopo.
Yeah.
Over the weekend. I wouldn't call that a performance. You have to see the video where he basically fell back while he was on stage.
He passed out.
Did he not show his
penis
to everybody?
Same guy.
Oh, wow.
That's the guy.
Yeah. I'm just trying to remember exactly what happened.
Passing out on stage in front of thousands of people, and obviously everyone caught it on their cameras, on their phones.
Right.
And what's weird to me is that
Did he really pass out or did he do it on purpose?
No,
he passed out. He was like 1, 2, 3 seconds away from passing out and then he actually passed out. You know when you can see someone's going and then they're singing and then they're dead? Like
sure. So he fell down.
Yeah, not all the way down. And what's weird for me is that there's people behind him on some of the footage. You can see, like, obviously, I'm guessing his managers, his friends, the people that he keeps around. And no one's coming to his rescue because he's barely singing his songs, firstly. He's not even saying anything on the mic.
Was he exhausted or was he drunk?
So
had
he
some
says,
sort of cocktail of now something, that, I believe.
On Twitter yesterday, I was watching this. I was actually wanted to tweet him, and I was like, actually, I'm not going to get involved here. But he says that he doesn't do drugs. Sure. His dad would whip his ass.
Do we believe him?
No, we don't. Because this, I don't smoke weed, so I don't even know if this was like a weed high. I don't know what high this was, but it really had me shook. It's some Amy Winehouse kind of stuff. Where no, it really is. Like the person's singing and they're there, and then the next minute they're not there. And you can see they're high and you can see they're not present in the moment.
Right.
And then they're just on the floor. So he says, no, it wasn't the drugs. He doesn't do drugs. And he doesn't drink alcohol, he sells alcohol.
Sure. Oh, right. Okay, wow. Wow.
This kid is 25 years old, and as much as he debuted with an amazing song and that got commercial success, he's now more known for his notorious personal life, which is just a mess.
I mean, his antics.
At 25, he has two kids, and then, as you were referencing Gareth a couple of months ago, he was on Instagram Live, which means you can't take back or pause or delete anything you post up there. And why he thought it was a great idea to even go to the loo in the first place while on Instagram Live, and that's when he was peeing and he flashed the world his penis. And so now, to being on stage, he obviously had to be on something. And he properly bailed. Who knows how it could have ended? Because what I say,
it could have ended again with more penis shots.
I say funny, but it's not really funny because he first staggers about on stage.
Yes,
and
sure.
You can see that, like, oh, something's about to happen. This guy needs to get his balance correct. Then he moves his microphone from the intended place, which is meant to amplify your voice.
Yeah, sure.
He then has the microphone against his hip, and he just stands there for a while. He then starts.
He doesn't know what's going on, right?
I mean,
he was out of it.
Dude, come on. And that's when he probably bails on stage. And there was a moment for me when I just thought about how we've become as society. Because the main video that I saw was of the crowd just thrusting their phones
and taking
to
footage.
Make sure they capture the moment. Not a lot of people are actually genuinely concerned, like, oh my goodness, call for help, get paramedics.
But the people behind him weren't doing that either. I think so. Why would the crowd? Do you know what I mean?
It's still a human. What if he was dead? And here we are just thrusting our phones first instead of doing something.
Then the reasoning for them would be, well, we were the first to catch him die.
That's what it was going to be. Yeah.
That's what people are like, I'm sorry.
Sure. Yeah, one of the videos that got the most response on social media was of a guy who, after filming that, went on to say, and I paid so much, and this is the show that I get.
Well, he's clearly he's a purist. I mean, he wants to see performances.
Good, guys.
I mean, this can happen to anyone. I mean, we saw what happened to poor Diego Maradona. He was just minding his own business, wanted to watch a bit of football. Yeah. And he also couldn't walk.
Having a fun time.
Yeah, sometimes life's difficult, guys.
Oh, it's not narcotics. It's something in the air.
People don't always have fun.
You're telling me, that video has... It's just so weird that he thinks, like, we're stupid enough to not think that he's on drugs. Like, who's he fooling? He's fighting with people on Twitter there.
That's not normal behavior. I can imagine if you're really, really super exhausted. You know, some people have to be checked into hospital because they're so exhausted. Mm-hmm. But then he would have just passed out, or he would have fallen asleep before his set or whatever.
Yeah.
But the fact that he passes out on stage, you don't want to do that in front of your audience of paying people. That's a very bad career move. So anyone who's even slightly lucid at that point goes, no.
Let me not go out.
Make an excuse.
Yeah.
Tell these people we'll refund them or whatever.
Because
otherwise it's going to be bad for the next 10 concerts. So if you buy tickets for the next empty concert, you've only got yourself to blame.
True.
Right? Don't you think?
Absolutely. You're 25 years old. I feel like it's the mess of being in the industry that's successful and famous.
I saw MT a couple of years ago before this, and it looks like this is him.
Well, there you go. You got your warning from us. Don't go to these concerts if you feel like watching an actual music show, because what you'll get is a spectacle.
Sure.
And not always a good one. All right, we'll be back with Mweletsi Mbeki next. He's coming in to spend some time with us. I'm very excited to speak to him. He's one of the people who I think we can all rely on for some useful insights into how the world works, and particularly in South Africa with our current political economy, what we make of things, where the money's going, where it's coming from, whether there is any money in the system, and exactly what the forecast might be. He's written an incredible book, which the last time he published that book, he came in and spoke to us about, which is called Architects of Poverty, and you can still get it in good bookstores. And Mweletsi Mbeki continues to be the deputy chairperson of the South African Institute of International Affairs, and a businessman in his own right, so I'm very excited to speak to him. That's coming up next. First, the unnews. So Donald Trump is getting ready for a trip to the UK. Asked what he is looking to gain from the trip, he was hoping for at least 8 rounds of golf and a great day out at Wimbledon. When asked about Theresa May, he simply said he wasn't interested in the theatre. Elon Musk has made a small submarine to save the remaining boys stuck in the Thai cave. Local authorities are appreciative, but they said they're actually serious about saving the kids, not just trying to impress shareholders and supermodels. And finally, the World Cup semi-finals start today, and the team with the most support of the 4 teams is Croatia. It seems most of the world really don't want to go and watch the coming home part of this, because most of the horrible songs are bound to follow, like in England. Come in, see, so sing it for us.
It's coming home, it's coming.
Okay.
I'm ready for England to win, yeah. Actually.
We'll be back with Mweletsi Mbeki next. CliffCentral.com. You know how to get hold of us.
This is CliffCentral.com.